I've already mentioned to you briefly about Chief Program Manager. I will focus on this, that the Chief Program Manager goes into the level of detail where he's also specifying and high-level design and delegates other tasks like detail-level design, coding, testing, documentation among other team members. So he's going into the very minutest level and going into the very small components. Now, this does have an advantage of maintaining consistency since he is going into very, very specific details. However, this could be a little demotivating because there is constant task assignment, there is very little flexibility, and there is constant monitoring by the supervision of the programmer, and it inhibits collective thinking, and also all decision making is happening only by the chief programmer. So involvement and creativity and growth of the individual team members is very low. Now, in a democratic team, I already mentioned to you, team members free to discuss with any other member, and that's how decisions are taken. However, again, here, the issue is that you may have certain things which are not clearly defined, and there could be certain conflicts left unresolved. However, this does give high job satisfaction and lead to high morale because people are getting a chance to be involved in the decision-making process as well. Individual team members are getting a chance to be involved in the decision-making process as well. So in terms of individual growth, it could definitely lead to higher creativity and higher job satisfaction. Now, we will quickly look at this diagram in terms of the mixed control team structure. So at a senior management level, there is reporting happening. But at a team member level, see the communication happening, active communication happening between the various team members. So there is a free flow of discussion happening between those. Reporting structures are the solid arrows. And demographic arrangement at a senior level of developers is used to decompose the problem in a smaller part. So it is a combination of your hierarchy and demographic arrangement to come to this mixed control structure. And some of these will form core full-time project team, and others may be part of part-time specialists and might be representative of various groups interested in the project. And one, we have to keep in mind that if we need someone who can take business decisions, we must identify the right person. So we are constantly talking about your roles and responsibility, project team manager, who will form a team manager. We are talking about what a team manager will do in terms of delegating tasks, in terms of monitoring, in terms of conflict resolution, in terms of acquiring, in terms of developing. But what about identifying the person who is going to be the team manager? So when a task force of 20 people was pulled in by this MNC bank to create this 45-day task force for mobilizing these NRI funds, it was not by a draw of lots that a decision was made who was going to be the team manager. There has to be certain capability, power, experience. Basically, you need to come to the right person who will be in a position to spearhead, take decisions, manage the team, resolve conflict, keep the team apprised of the common goal, and be able to revert to the sponsors who are the eventual people backing this project. So you typically need a more experienced resource. And now let's come to the role of a sponsor. So we are talking team manager, but a team manager or a project manager has to eventually also report. And the final reporting goes back to the sponsor, whether the sponsor is a monetary sponsor, whether the sponsor is a sponsor in terms of lending name, whether the sponsor is a sponsor in terms of putting their image behind this project. And a sponsor is the person who saw a need to make the change and had the authority to make something happening. Hence, he is backing this project. And there may be several sponsors who collectively have this role. And it may even be that higher authority and support is required such that others should be drawn into this role. So you will constantly turn back to the sponsor as a team manager if involvement is required and a higher authority is required, because these are the people who have complete faith in this project, who are, because of whom this project is even been initiated. Outcome is a later stage. And a sponsor is again someone who's providing the financial resources also, wherever financial resources are required for a project, which is the case in most of the places. And if the project is executed outside the organization, then the customer could also be the project sponsor. So someone has commissioned something to an organization or a team, and there is an advance payment happening, or there is a payment happening later on, in which case the customer is also providing the financial resources and is hence becoming the sponsor of this project immediately at task. Sponsors could also be senior persons, and based on the stage of project life, roles and responsibilities of the sponsors. Sometimes the sponsors are very hands-off. We have given this mandate. You are the team manager. Now you come back to us with the final project with regular reporting. Sometimes the sponsors could be getting involved very fairly regularly because higher authority is required to be involved in various aspects. So the roles could be defined based on the stages of the project. Chances are that in the initial stages, the sponsors could be maybe slightly more involved to get the project up and running. And once it is a well-oiled machine, things are working, then maybe they get involved only towards the later and final stages to make sure that there is a successful completion for the project. And identifying the project requirement or need that must be met could also be one of the responsibilities of the project sponsor, and under the project sponsor's blessing is where your project manager will undertake this role and carry out this role. We keep talking about project stakeholders. Now, stakeholders are the individual team members, the customer, the organization, your project manager, and of course your sponsor is one of the biggest stakeholders in the project. There are no two ways about that. There can be no doubt about that. And a sponsor or an initiator, over and above financial resources, will also provide a statement of the work. What is the eventual desired outcome that we are talking about? The team cannot be working in divergence to what the statement or requirement of the sponsor is, and also provide information or a preliminary project state. This is what I need. This is the background to what I need, because that is what is going to give direction to the team to start giving you what is required and to start working in the direction of what is required. They also define the end dates. I need this. I need this by a certain time frame, because that is how projects work, right? You cannot say I need this done and there is no end date. 45 days, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. He's also the person who is in charge of the project charter, which is again, what do I need? What is my statement? What is my background? There are constraints with respect to scope, cost, time. A project sponsor is going to be the final call, and who will have to prioritize between these. If a project sponsor has a budget of 1 crore for a certain project and you as a project manager are saying I need 2 crores, then unless you have the buy-in of the project sponsor, you cannot get that funds. You have to make do in that 1 crores, and you may very well give a very rational statement to the project sponsor to increase the funds, but he may not. So you have to make do with whatever he has provided. So they have to juggle between the cost, scope, time. You may say, I cannot complete this in 6 months. I need another 3 months. If the project sponsor gives you that 3 months, well and good. If he doesn't give you, then so be it. And encourages the stakeholders to clearly define, finalize the scope of the requirements, and provides time to the team to plan for the project. Once you have made your statement clear, you have given the background, then you give your time proper team proper planning time before they hit the ground running and actually start working, and then they start servicing what your requirement is. Now your project sponsor initiator may review the work breakdown structure, or could help in determining risks, or could determine the project monitoring reports required by the management. So these are various roles that a sponsor will come into play in. Your project manager has to be the in-between between the team and the project sponsor in a lot of ways, or he may go through the senior management team to access the sponsor if the sponsor is an internal or an external sponsor. Now, very important out here is, again, coming back to the aspect of compliance. We keep talking about compliance and being compliant. A sponsor also has to be the final call to make sure that all things are approved by the board, all changes are approved by the board, and quality standards and policies are complied with. Because tomorrow, if you deliver a product but you have broken rules or overstepped guidelines, then it's not going to be just the team members. And most of the times, the axe will not fall on the individual team members. The axe is going to fall on the project sponsor, because he is the eventual authority who sanctioned it and under whose guidelines and blessings this project is being run. So think of any organization where you have ever heard of any investigation or a regulation being broken. While the individual employee involved in that may be dragged in and may be taken to task, very seldom will you have a situation where the eventual sponsor is not taken to task as well. So it is very important that the sponsor maintain a quality standard and also ensure that things are compliant and the board approvals for changes and all other various aspects have been met. So these keep forming part of a sponsor's roles among various other things. He is also an expert who is providing his advice and coaching and counseling, the same way that a project manager is providing that to his team people. And during the initial stages of a project, team would participate in identifying and involving stakeholders in the project. So when a team is formed, a team has to decide and identify and acknowledge that I spoke of a sponsor, my sponsor is a stakeholder, my team member is a stakeholder, my customer is a stakeholder, my team manager is a stakeholder. So as we move on from the role of a sponsor to the role of a team, it is very important that the team members acknowledge the various individual roles of the various stakeholders and also acknowledge who are the various stakeholders, because they are going to have to constantly make sure that the objectives of these stakeholders are met, these stakeholders are kept informed, and they are working on the project charter and statement provided by the stakeholders. Sometimes you have to involve the stakeholders in the project beyond the team member stakeholders. And this will have to, in the project scope statement, you will have a predefined dimension of how much involvement you will have of the stakeholder. Sometimes you may have sponsors who may be a little hands-off and may not be involved as frequently as others. Now, team members have to constantly attend team meetings, ensure ground rules are met during the entire project life cycle. Now, when we spoke about meetings, we've been talking about geographically different locations, right? So if you have a team of 20 people who are in 10 different locations, they're not going to be able to come in as part of physical team meetings in one location all the time. So they have to come up with the appropriate processes, appropriate things, where they are being able to participate in these meetings even virtually, whether that's through Skype, whether that's through video conferencing, whether that's through emails, whether that is through an internal blog which is being created. But constant communication and meeting, physical or virtual or email or messenger, is required to make sure that processes are being met and constant work is happening, work in progress is happening, compliance is happening, and the deliverables are moving through the various stages at the pace which is desirable to the various stakeholders. So just because of geographical differences, you cannot have a situation where the team members are not communicating, because if you do that, then how will you find out about any mistakes, any constraints, any blockages? So I have 20 people working on the same goal across 10 different locations, and two locations are stuck with a certain regulatory issue in their location, and they are not being able to deliver because of that. My entire project is going to be stuck, and I'm going to find out about it at the finalization when I won't be able to deliver, at the deadline when I won't be able to do anything about it, unless that meeting, physical or virtual, and communication has been kept ongoing during the course of the work in progress, during the various stages of my project. So it is very important that constraints, assumptions, blockages, conflicts are resolved constantly, so that we can keep effectively moving towards the deliverables as per the sponsor charter. So the three factors integrated by the product introduction process are teamwork, simultaneous engineering, and tools and techniques. So the team has to work together. By simultaneous engineering, we mean everyone is constantly in touch. There are various functions and processes which are happening on at different levels, but all of that, those have to move in tandem to form one larger machinery, and you have to have your resources and means to be able to deliver on these as well. You have to create a work breakdown structure, and you have to have a work schedule and activities. Again, I had mentioned that it is a very important role of a project manager to specify what aspect is being managed by which team member, what role and responsibility is being managed by each team member. Now, this is going to happen if the work breakdown structure, if he's breaking down the work into various tasks and then assigning it, the various deliverables and then assigning, whether it is admin, whether it is sales, whether it is business development, whether it is coding, whether it is design, whether it is networking, whether it is any of these things, you have to break it down and assign to the team. And this decomposed work package has to have various deadlines and schedules, what has to be the reporting back, what has to be the pace at which what has to move. All these things have to be laid out and met so that your team is working progressively in a very systematic and organized way. It cannot move on, you know, oh, I thought you needed this work 2 months later, because you did not pre-specify what is the frequency at which the movement needs to happen and reporting back on this needs to happen. You have to identify dependencies. When I mentioned to you about the conflict between two members in a team, A and B, where B's work was stuck because A was not delivering to him data at a certain time, and A possibly had a constraint because of some issue with either B, or maybe another reason for the constraint could be because C was not delivering the data to him on time. Now, there is interdependency. Every time there are tasks in a larger team does not mean people can work in silos without any connection between the various teams. When you have, say, sales in a bank, the salesperson goes and gets the business, but the operations person has to make sure that the money transaction happens properly. The client services person has to make sure that the documentation is there happening properly. The regulatory person and compliance person has to make sure that this documentation is in order. My customer service person has to make sure that post the sale, the client is being taken care of and his requirements are being met. So these, just because a salesperson goes and gets a check, he has a dependency on various other functions. He can keep walking about with that check, but unless that check is cleared properly by the operations person on time in the right way, his work is stuck. So there are interdependencies which you cannot wish away in any team. There would hardly be any team in a large organization where interdependencies are not in play. So for these interdependencies, it's very important that a team works seamlessly. There is clarity, there is conflict resolution also, which is happening. Now, every project involves risks. So it is important that while there are estimates and planning, risk is also to a certain calculated aspect understood. And there is some way to for quantitative risk analysis and planning. So most large organizations will have a risk department, risk control department also, over and above their quality control department. And the reason for that is that you can never guarantee that a certain risk is going to be taken care of. But the endeavor is on a best effort way to be prepared to take care of a risk, to try to estimate the risk in advance and have some means in place which might take care of it or which would endeavor to take care of it. So to imagine that there is never going to be any risk constraint is very, very difficult. For example, is very reckless rather. For example, in a software development, when there is an operating system being developed, if a team or a team manager or a sponsor does not anticipate the risk that a regulatory environment in a certain country where this operating system is going to be offered is going to change and is not going to allow this operating system to work, would be very foolhardy. Because if they have anticipated that this country changes its regulation very frequently, then they have to plan in advance that should we be hit by this change that in its current design, this operating system cannot work there, then we should be ready to make those unique changes or add those aspects which will make this operating system compliant with the regulatory environment in that country. So these things become very important, because risk is a reality in today's day and life. Again, I said there is no guarantee that you will be able to satisfy the outcome of that risk or underplay that risk, but organizations have to at least make it their business to be prepared to do that. Performance reports, of course, are very important, and various phases, what is the stage, what is the closure report, what is the feedback, has to go back and forth, because without that you won't know right till the end what is the status of your project. You will not be able to take corrective action should you need to take corrective action, which at the last stage you can't. You can only take at a stage well before that. Now, moving on to the role of a stakeholder, let's keep in mind that anyone who is impacted by a project outcome, positively or negatively, is a stakeholder. They may have reasonable influence over the project, and it is imperative that the team and the team members identify all the stakeholders beforehand. If there's a customer who is going to be impacted strongly, if there is an organization CEO, if there is an organization promoter who has provided the capital, if there is an organization vendor, whoever the stakeholders are need to be identified by the team members, because they need to keep in mind what are the project charters and statements and desired outcomes laid out by these stakeholders. So who could the various stakeholders be? Could be the project manager, who is of course going to be directly impacted by the outcome of the project. It could be the customer who has either commissioned it or who is going to buy it from you, buy the product from you. So definitely he is also sitting and waiting with bated breath for you to give him a positive and successful outcome. So that is, he could be a very key stakeholder. The organization, of course, if you are delivering to a customer properly and effectively, then that adds to the bottom line profitability of the organization. And of course, the organization is impacted. Project team members, because eventually rewards, recognition, career growth, etc., all of that is going to be based on project outcome, positive outcome. So definitely very key members are the team members, who are in fact involved on a day-to-day basis, more closely involved than perhaps even the sponsors, who are probably the ones who are putting in the financial resources, because they may provide the financial resources and then say, now we are leaving the day-to-day management to the team members. So the team members are more closely associated and probably become closer stakeholders, even if the financial gain may primarily go to the sponsor. So these are the various kinds of stakeholders that you could possibly have for a project. Now, what is the role of a stakeholder? We earlier discussed the role of a project manager, role of a sponsor. Now, when we are talking about role of stakeholder, keep in mind that we are not talking only about sponsor. We are talking about customer, organization, project manager, team member, or the sponsor. So we are talking about any of these stakeholders which are involved. And they have to be on top of planning and managing, and should prepare the project charter and the scope of the statement. They have to have the project management be aware of changes which are involved, identify constraint, risk management. There has to be a risk owner involved. As I said, risk is a very, very real part of any organization and project today. The amount of involvement of a functional manager depends upon the organization structure. So the functional manager clearly is one of the key stakeholders, and different projects would involve different intensity of involvement of a project manager and a functional manager. And a functional manager is an individual who owns and manages the resources in a department and directs technical workers of individual form. A functional area like engineering, IT, marketing, etc. on a project is called a functional manager. So he is getting his hands dirty. He is very involved in terms of allocating, in terms of overseeing, and he has some important functions to play. Now, we discussed the various structures, the project format, the functional format, and the matrix format. So based on the type of the organization organization, whether it is project or matrix, the responsibilities may change. Because as we saw in certain formats, you had a combination of discussion among team members, you had a combination of functional area of specialization coming only from coding, coming only from design, or you have had a project system where there was a duality. So depending on the type of organization, a functional manager's role could keep differing, but there are certain things like overseeing and ensuring that there is no conflict and taking eventual responsibility of a project, which are core to any functional manager, no matter which kind of structure you are going in. You have to assign individuals to the team and negotiate with the project manager regarding the resources. So you are the functional manager and there could be a project manager. As a functional manager, you have to reach out to the project manager and you have to ensure that you have the optimum projects. Now again, keep in mind, functionality is specialization, coding, networking. Project is a task force which is created. Project is people pulled in for that specific. So there is a difference between functionality and project. And keep the project manager informed about other projects that may impact the project. There are at any point of time several projects. If we think back to the table we had seen in the past about an overlap between functions and projects, there were different resources working on multiple projects at any point of time. So you have to keep the project manager informed if there is a certain resource, his departmental resource, who is working on 5 projects, then you have to keep the person informed that, you know, his work here is going to impact his time allocation elsewhere. There are various aspects which have to be kept involved. You have to be involved in the final project, and of course in the initial work as well, you have to be very much involved in this aspect. Final project schedule has to be approved by you. You have to recommend corrective action, which is going to happen when you are monitoring and keeping track of the progress. As we have said, that corrective action cannot happen right at the last stage. You have to keep seeing what the stage is in the middle, what the constraints are, what the issues are, and accordingly keep taking corrective action. You have to improve staff utilization. What does utilization mean? Utilization means productivity, getting the maximum possible out of the same resource. So if you have a team where resources are sitting idle, then that is below optimum staff utilization. So that is loss of actually work, billing hours, revenue, all of those things. So you have to get the maximum possible out of the minimum number of resources. And if there are resources sitting idle, either you need to reduce the number of team members or you need to assign them to a task where they will start becoming productive. A project manager is someone who is very much day-to-day involved. So if I ask you, between a project manager and a sponsor, who has more day-to-day involvement? Clearly, a project manager has more day-to-day involvement. We already discussed a sponsor may or may not have day-to-day involvement. You have a sponsor who may just be giving financial support, looking for regular performance reports, and then getting involved in the final outcome. They may not be getting their hands dirty. Whereas a project manager is someone who has to control the project resources and is going to take eventual responsibility and has to get involved in the minute day-to-day activities of the project as well.